Hello everyone, John Steele here with another special JTalk Extra Time mini-pod. In this episode, I'm going to talk about what went on in J3 this midweek, a full round of games on Tuesday because of the national holiday here in Japan. That was round 17 of the season as well, so we're just about at the midway point of the third tier season, which seems to be going on forever because of the coronavirus delays. But yeah, into the J3 round 17 action then. We should start at the top, I guess, with the leaders Blaublitz Akita. They drew 0-0 at home to Kagoshima on Tuesday afternoon. That means Akita, they've only played 16 games because one of their games was postponed earlier on. But from the 16 games they've played, they're unbeaten. 2 points clear of second place. But perhaps more importantly, 8 points clear of third now. Both sides hit the crossbar in this game towards the end of the first half. Now Eguchi rattled the woodwork for Akita, and then the home goalkeeper Yudai Tanaka, who was excellent as usual, managed to deflect Kenji Baba's shot onto the crossbar at the other end. We should mention as well, Akita, just their incredible defensive record this season. Only 4 goals conceded in their 16 matches in J3 this year. Just unbelievable, and it's given them a real chance to build an automatic promotion push. For Kagoshima, I think they'll obviously view this as a good point away from home to the league leaders. They slipped down a place or two in the table to 7th place now. Ruaso Kumamoto stays second after a third straight win for them, keeping them 6 points clear of the team in third place. Kumamoto won 2-0 against YSCC in this round. An absolutely brilliant goal from Hikaru Nakahara, a stunning half volley from outside the box, put Kumamoto ahead in the 26th minute here, and then they hit the bar before half time through Shun Ito, but it was 1-0 at the break. Kumamoto didn't double their lead until midway through the second period. A mistake from the YSCC goalkeeper Issei Oichi, who was otherwise very solid. He managed to pass the ball straight out of defence to Kaito Taniguchi just outside the penalty area. Not the kind of player you really want to be giving the ball to on the edge of your own box. And yes, Taniguchi duly dispatched his 10th goal of the season to make it 2-0 and make the game safe for Kumamoto. Kumamoto 6 wins in their last 7 matches, so they're going really well and looking strong. I think YSCC, although they lost this game, will probably be happy enough being as they're in 12th place in the league at the moment. There's a new arrival in 3rd place in the table, Nagano. They're up to 3rd, 6 points off the automatic promotion places on the back of a run of 4 straight wins. Nagano beat Sanuki 1-0 in the Tuesday matches. The home goalkeeper Akihito Ozawa had to make a smart double save in the first half to keep Sanuki out. And the crucial goal came from the penalty spot in the 63rd minute. The impressive Ryoji Fujimori was brought down by the Sanuki captain Akira Takeuchi, and a half-time substitute Tsubasa Sano converted the resulting spot kick, so Nagano winning 1-0 in the end. 3 clean sheets in a row for Nagano, so their defence is definitely on point at the moment. For Sanuki, it always seems to be bad news when we talk about them, but they stay bottom from the first half of the J3 season, 17 matches, just 1 win for them. So I don't think it can all be down to bad luck. I think they're probably just not a very good side this season either. There was a surprise home defeat for Gainare Tottori, which drops them down to 4th place in the table. They seem to be out of form at the moment. This was a 3rd loss in 4 games for them. They lost 1-0 at home against Sagamihara. This game was played at the Chubu Yajin Stadium in Yonago, not Tottori's regular home ground, the Axis Bird Stadium. I think this was the first game of the season that's been held at Chubu Yajin Stadium for Tottori, so I made a big noise about their impressive home record in a previous pod, so I think that's still true because their record at their main stadium, Axis, is really good, although they lost this game at Chubu. So yes, 1-0 in the end. A lacklustre first half with not too much to talk about, really. Things improved in the second period, though. Tottori's impressive rookie forward, Yuya Taguchi, hit the crossbar from outside the box before Sagamihara hit the front in the 56th minute. Romulo's shot was parried by the Tottori goalkeeper Ken Tajiri, but Ryuji Saito was on hand to gobble up the rebound. 2-2 games for him. So yeah, an impressive away victory for Sagamihara. It moves them up just slightly to 8th place in the table. And yes, not a very good September so far for Tottori. As I mentioned, 3 defeats in 4 games for them. Elsewhere, Fujieda are up into fifth place, 1 point behind Tottori, after sharing 5 goals in their game away at Hachinohe, 11th place in the table, by the way, Hachinohe. So this game finished 3-2 to Fujieda. Fujieda forward Yasuhito Morishima, the fridge as he's known, was influential in the first half as Fujieda went 2-0 up before the break. In the 10th minute, Morishima was fouled by the Hachinohe goalkeeper Yuki Kaneko for a penalty, which was scored by Tsubasa Yoshihira, and Morishima scored the second goal for Fujieda himself in the 36th minute. The half-time substitute, Yosuke Kamigata, headed a goal back for Hachinohe in the 62nd minute, but Yoshihira, scorer of that first half penalty, sent another substitute, Tsugatoshi Oishi, clean through in the 75th minute to make it 3-1. I think that makes Oishi the top scorer in J3 at the moment, 11 goals for the season for him. Kamigata did score another goal for Hachinohe in the 92nd minute, but it proved to be just a consolation in the end. As I mentioned, Fujieda eventually hanging on and winning 3-2. Now, FC Gifu won 2-1 on the road against Toyama to move them into 6th place in the table. Gifu 1 point behind 5th place Fujieda, and it was a third win in 3 matches for Gifu. They also needed to come from behind. Toyama went in front just before the half hour in this game, Hayate Take scoring with a free header from Shohanai's corner. Another header levelled the scores up, this time Kensei Nakashima on the hour mark for Gifu, and Gifu's winner was an absolutely brilliant individual goal from Shota Kawanishi. Wow, you know, cutting inside from the right wing and curling the ball past the goalkeeper. So Gifu winning 2-1 away at Toyama. That's 2 straight defeats for Toyama. They slipped down to 10th place. We can't go on, though, without mentioning that Gifu will be under new management as of the weekend's games. Their boss, Zdravko Zemnovic, was placed on administrative leave or gardening leave ahead of the Toyama game. It's now been announced officially that he's been fired. He's left the club. So Kenji Nakada is the man in the hot seat for Gifu's next game. He was actually in charge on a temporary basis for this match against Toyama, but he's been given the job permanently now. So hopefully Stuart and I will have a chance to talk about that in more detail soon. But yeah, Gifu winning 2-1 away at Toyama. Good result for them. Iwate beat Gamba Osaka under-23s 1-0 on Tuesday. The crucial goal in this game coming from Hiroki Kotani with just 6 minutes left. This was Iwate's first home win at their main Iwagin Stadium this season, although they have won home games at some of their other sub-stadiums in 2020. So I think they were really pleased to get a first home win at their regular home ground in this game. It also moves Iwate up the table slightly to 13th place. For Gamba Osaka, the under-23 side, they always impress me with their style of football, but that's 4 straight defeats for them. So again, September, a tiring month for quite a few teams in J2 and J3. But yeah, that leaves Gamba's under-23s in 15th place. Now, there was a big scoreline in the other game involving a youth team on Tuesday. Numazu beat Seretse Osaka's under-23 side 5-0. Numazu ending their 8-match winless streak in fine style, in emphatic fashion. Numazu scored 3 times in the first half here. Koki Maezawa, Hiroki Akiyama and Ryo Watanabe all on target. In the second period, Shota Fujio hit the crossbar early on for Seretse, but then an own goal from Subaru Nishimura in the 64th minute made it 4-0 and put the result beyond doubt, really. Fujio, again, impressive as usual, hit the post following a corner with about 10 minutes left, but there was still time for Numazu's young substitute, Kota Suzuki, to score his first professional goal in only his second appearance for the club. It might have been his first touch of the game as well, because he'd only just come on the pitch when he did score. So yeah, 5-0 to Numazu against Seretse Osaka's under-23 side. Numazu 14th in the table. Still looks like it's going to end up being a disappointing season for them, I'm afraid, at halfway. For Seretse Osaka's youth side, they're second bottom of the table at the moment. Last but not least from the J3 slate on Tuesday, Imabari won 2-0 away at Fukushima United. That's a result that means that Imabari are 9th in the table. It was a first win in 5 matches for them. Fukushima still very much out of form. 5 defeats in their last 6 games sees them in 16th place in the table. Imabari were ahead just before half time in this one. Ryota Kuwajima heading in across from Masamichi Hayashi. And a very famous name, Yuichi Komano, came on as a sub in the 65th minute here and then scored a beautiful half volley with about 5 minutes of the game left to make the points safe for Imabari at 2-0. So really nice to see him scoring a goal and a magnificent technique as well. I think he's a little bit older and a bit slower than he was back in his J1 days, but he hasn't lost any of his technique, that's for sure. I think that's his first J-League goal since he got one for Fukuoka in J2 a couple of years ago. So nice to see that he was back on the score sheet. Imabari winning 2-0 against Fukushima in the end. So that's a quick roundup of what went on in the J3 midweek match day, the Tuesday matches. Looking ahead to the weekend and round 18, there's just the one game on Saturday, September the 26th, but it is a big one. The leaders Akita are away at Fukushima, as I mentioned, out of form Fukushima down in 16th. That game's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, Fukushima versus Akita. The rest of the J3 games are all on Sunday, September the 27th. We have YSCC hosting Seretz Osaka's under-23 side. Sagamihara play Toyama. Saneki take on Hachinohe. And Gifu, as mentioned, under the new management of Kenji Nakada, welcome Numazu to Nagaragawa. Second place Kumamoto are away on Sunday at Gamba Osaka's under-23 side. I think the kickoff at Panasonic Stadium is at 2 p.m, so 15th place versus second place in that one. Elsewhere, Fujieda take on Iwate, Imabari host Tottori, and I think for me the most intriguing game is at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, Kagoshima hosting Nagano, 7th place versus 3rd place. I think that could be an interesting match to watch as well. So yeah, that was a very brief but hopefully entertaining roundup of the midweek J3 action. I hope everybody enjoys the games coming up at the weekend. As always, thanks for listening, thanks for downloading. We especially appreciate the support from the patrons as well. We know that you put your money where your mouth is and help us to keep the microphones on and keep Ben's upload limit appropriately sized for all the content that we produce. So yeah, we really appreciate that. Enjoy the weekend football. Hopefully Stuart and I will be back together next week. We can chat about the weekend action, Gifu's new manager, and I'm sure many other topics that will come up from the weekend's games as well. So yeah, have a good weekend. Enjoy the football, and speak to you again soon. Bye for now.